This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will get to Tim Kirchner in a moment. If you want to talk to him, 786-456-4837 is the telephone number. But before we get to Kirchner, I'm sorry, Christine, I interrupted you.
And finally, male spider mites prefer their sexual partners to be dead. So does Stu's wife.
Oh! Hello!
Whoa!
That is a -4 on your Murray mistake earlier.
Oh my God almighty, the bedroom. She's going after you in the bedroom and then running away with that sinister giggle. Speaking of giggling, Tim Kirchner is the highlight of our work week when we have him around. Just an exceedingly kind man, always fun to talk to, even though he has occasional lapses of rage that are troubling. Tim, thank you for being on with us as always. The Marlins are going to make the playoffs.
Yes, Dan, the Marlins are going to make the playoffs. And I apologize 2 weeks ago for saying they had no chance. I took a step back last week and said they have a chance. And today I'm going to tell you that they are going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be one of the great stories, not just of this season, but of any season. The only thing I knew about the National League going into 162 this year was that the Pirates and Marlins were going to finish last. And now the Marlins are going to make the playoffs. And it is a great story, tribute to all their players, the manager, and this is why baseball is the greatest game in the world, is its unpredictability. And the Marlins, I think, will make the playoffs. And it's not because they're great, but it's because the Phillies and some other teams aren't so good.
Let me ask the shipping container here, Billy, Chris, Roy, the guys who really care about this team. Are we accepting Tim Kirchner's apology? I mean,
I just need him to hold me. I'm scared. I don't think they're going to make it.
Tim, is it weird that a couple segments ago I said I wanted to fast forward through the end of this season, one season that you just called one of the best stories in many seasons in baseball?
Yes, Billy, but again, this is the beauty of baseball. It is so seductive. Once it grabs you, it doesn't let you go, and it's torturous to watch because it is every game. And they play every day. I had a lady in the grocery store recently in the frozen food department. She doesn't even know me. She came up and like told me, oh my gosh, I love the Nationals. I'm in it. I love it. I know how you feel every single day. I can't miss a game. I can't miss a pitch. This is a woman in her late 50s who just figured it out, and now she's hooked forever. This is what baseball does, and it will torture you, Billy, because every pitch is going to matter. It's amazing.
What did you tell the lady in the grocery store? Because Dan has a guy at his grocery store also that pops out from around the aisles and is always asking him about the Marlins, but Dan hides from him.
I told her this is great. I told her that baseball is an acquired taste, and it doesn't matter if you find it when you're 5, like me, or whether you're 55 like her, that once it gets you, you are completely hooked. And that's what I told her, and she was just so happy because she said, now I feel like I know what your life is like every day because that's the way my life is.
Tim, in a pandemic, are you immediately telling her, make sure you're 6 feet away if you're going to ask me this sports question?
No, this question came last year when the Nationals were racing to the World Series. Wow, but it's the same idea. Could have happened this year. It's happening with Billy this year. He loves it so much. He's so captivated by this. He can't even watch the game. He just wants them to be over because watching them is so torturous. That's what makes baseball so good. You don't remember, hey, LeBron didn't guard, you know, Murray in the third quarter last night for 2 minutes. But in baseball, you remember everything that happens if you're watching closely enough. Why didn't they pitch to that guy? How did he miss that ball to his left? That's the kind of stuff, because the game moves so slowly, that is just so fascinating.
Tim, Trevor Bauer's doing his best to make us respect the Cy Young if he does indeed win it. But what's your stance on handing out awards for such a short season?
I'm okay with it, just like I'm okay with seven-inning doubleheaders, even though I hate it. I'm okay with a runner on second to start the 10th, even though I hate it, because this year is a season of extraordinary circumstances. So if we're going to crown a champion, I'm okay with crowning an MVP and a Cy Young and everything else. And believe me, guys can win it this weekend. You have a big weekend. You can win the MVP this weekend. I think Trevor Bauer deserves to be the Cy Young winner at this point, but that could change this weekend if somebody else dials up a beauty. That's how close it is.
Does Tyler Hero look like the kid on the fan cam at the basketball game who runs out of dance moves 5 seconds in and then just keeps frantically dabbing?
Danny came off a screen at the top of the key the other day and shot it like he's done it a billion times. It was remarkable to watch that kid play.
I know you love your basketball. Does Kelly Olynyk look like a scroll keeper in the catacombs of ancient Rome? Does Adam Silver... Does Adam Silver, you were saying something. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I just started laughing at Adam Silver.
Okay.
Good at this.
All right. Does Adam Silver look like the level 2 inflatable alien guy prize you win at the county fair dart toss game? If you want to talk to Tim Kirkson, the telephone number is 786-456-4837. We've got some decent Doug Peterson ones here. Does Doug Peterson look like he specifically asked for full custody of the basement air hockey table in his divorce? Tim, the Dodgers, when you look at, I understand that anybody can lose, and this is going to be a weird, random bubble series, but the best teams in baseball, according to Tim Kirkson, are?
Well, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. The Yankees can be the second best team in baseball, but only if they get a little healthier, start to swing it a little bit better. I think they have the second best roster. And I think that the Rays are the third best team in baseball, and they could be the second best if the Yankees don't pull it together. But the Dodgers have, you know, over 100 homers. Their starting pitching is really good. Their bullpen is filled with power arms. I think they're the best team, and they have a lot to play for.
When you think of the smartest teams in baseball, is it Rays and A's, or do you have someone else? I'm not talking about the team on the field. I'm talking about the way the team is built.
Yes, the Rays are the smartest team in a lot of ways. I had a major league coach tell me last year, I didn't even ask him, and he just lit into how poorly we played the game today, missing cutoff men, running the bases. And then he paused and he goes, except for the Rays, that team plays the game the right way. They're smarter than everyone else, and they put their team together smarter than everyone else, and then they draft and develop smarter than everyone else, and then they teach it better. Their manager, Kevin Cash, is really good at this, and all those players just show up and wait to find out where they're going to play tonight, because they don't even have the same lineup every night, or even close. I think they're the smartest team, and I think they play the game better than any team.
Tim, if the sale goes through for the New York Mets from the Wilpons to Steve Cohen, it looks like they're going to hire Sandy Alderson to be the team president. I'm wondering, if that decision was left up to Tim Kirkson, who would you hire to run the Mets?
I would hire Sandy Alderson to run the Mets. I've covered baseball for a long time, and Sandy was so good at putting those A's teams together. And Billy Beane, pretty smart guy, especially as a young GM, would always ask himself, he told me, in a difficult spot, what would Sandy do here? That's how good Sandy Alderson is. And I think with the change and where the Mets appear to be going with an owner who's never owned a team before, he needs a really good, smart, guiding hand. Sandy Alderson's a brilliant man, but he's also got a really good feel for baseball. And then he could hire, you know, someone to run the baseball operation while he's the president of the team. I would do just what the Mets are doing.
How bad is the Mike Clevinger injury for the Padres? Will it ruin the playoff hopes?
Roy, it's not a good injury, and it's a forearm, and bicep, you're never quite sure what's going on there. I think he's going to miss the first series. Maybe he'll be back for the second. But if he doesn't pitch in October, that really decreases their chances of getting to and winning the World Series. I think they're good enough with him at his best to actually beat the Dodgers. I'm not saying they could. I think the Dodgers are the best team, and they're going to win the World Series, I think. But Clevinger is nasty. He's really good, and they counted on him in that rotation because he's the real overpowering stuff guy. And if he can't pitch at all, I think it really decreases their chances of getting to and winning the World Series.
Does Adam Silver look like the light bulb that appears over the head of someone who has a good idea? So we beat Colin Cowherd again. Colin Cowherd was in the news this week because he's again complaining about trusting quarterbacks who wear their cap backwards.
Oh, boy.
It is a delightful take. It makes me happy that this is what Colin Cowherd is doing with the millions of dollars that they're paying him toward the end of a distinguished, legendary, and Hall of Fame broadcast career.
You got to give him credit for dishing out a take that no one else has ever had in the history of sports radio.
It's in reruns. It's recycled because he's already done this before to Manziel, and he was right about Manziel, but now he's going after Wentz.
It started with Romo. That's how long we've been doing this one.
Yeah, but Marino wore his hat backwards. We did this already. He did.
No rings.
I don't need to talk about. I am happy in a difficult pandemic time where there's a trough that a lot of people are feeding on, but there is less money being made in the media game than there has been before, that he still has a giant studio, that he has a giant desk, and that he is able to give that opinion for millions of dollars. I am not hating.
And then he goes windsurfing.
I am not hating here. I am happy that that's a market that exists for gas bags who age, and you should be happy about that too, Stu.
I am thrilled. I mean, he has set the market. And I'm better than him.
No, you're not.
You're right.
No, you're not. I'm better than him?
I feel like I'm like a fine wine, Dan. I'm getting better with age. I mean, that's what I feel.
You're not. You're getting worse with age, and the show turns it into something because, like me, you're getting worse with age.
That's a fair point.
We're both getting worse. Yeah. Before we go any further down the path, it's always weird when Stugatz flexes. You think you're better than everybody at everything.
I do. It's weird. I'm a legend in my own mind, my dad likes to say.
Does your dad say that?
All the time, yes.
And so you've been that since a kid. I've got to talk to him at some point.
You do.
For the audience in order to tell them who you've always been.
My dad will side with you on everything. I mean.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right. We got to set that up, Mike. We got to get that happening where I just talk to Stugatz. I interview Stugatz's dad about what he was like as a kid.
Stugatz is definitely better at what he, like Colin Cowherd could not do what Stugatz does. Stugatz could fake it and try to do what Colin Cowherd does. Stugatz is one of a kind. Name another Stugatz in sports radio.
Thank you.
Okay, but it requires, look at the manpower this show has. It requires a army of people in order to turn that into the funny it needs to be. Like, it's not funny that Stugatz doesn't know what Harry Carey is and thought it was a Cubs broadcaster when I was talking about suicide earlier today. Unless you have everyone around him supporting the joke that none, like that doesn't happen. Do you realize if that mistake happened, and it happens daily around here, to people like Colin Cowherd, it would be viral. It would be one of these. How often do you see another professional sports radio show making the mistakes we do around here daily? And you see it go viral. Like, you don't see it very often because they're too professional to make it happen.
Right, here it's just another day. I understand what you're saying. With Harry Carey, though, I mean, I wasn't the only one thrown off. I believe Mike was in sync with me where we thought that Harry Carey had committed suicide. And that's what we thought. That's what you said.
I mean, you should listen to it. Anyway, the point is the local hour and Big Suey today are very good for two different reasons. Both of them are very strong. We've got Steve-O coming up next here to pick games with us because we've beaten Colin Cowherd again. But very quickly here, it's the only way we can do things given how much surrounds us at this point. But Charles Barkley last night, and he said this a month ago on our show, and I was wrong and deserved your criticism for not correcting him quicker on defund the police and his idea. He's got it wrong when he thinks that defunding the police is just getting rid of the police and then we won't have anyone to call. I should have called him on it then. He said it again last night, and we all see you, people who only wave around Charles Barkley when it's stuff like this because he gives you black permission, like calling him brave and he's amazing because he's doing this. Charles Barkley, this happened with Ellen recently, right? Where Ellen, celebrities come forth and say, Ellen's wonderful to me. And of course celebrities come forth and, she's wonderful to them. That doesn't mean that that's how she treats everybody. It doesn't mean that that's how she treats the little people. Charles Barkley has had an extraordinary relationship with police officers for a very long time. Charles Barkley has said by his own mouth, the most difficult decision I have to make every day is whether I'm going to stay in a Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton. Charles Barkley does not speak for black people on this one. He speaks for Charles Barkley. And we see you when you wave him around only when he says things that you agree with. Steve-O is back and we're excited about it. Yeah. You can check out his Wild Ride podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'll get to him in a second. But first, Christine Lisi, you were saying.
And finally, 37% of Brits believe their jobs are meaningless and do not contribute to the world. Speaking of Dan and Stu, back to you.
Yes, oh, wow. That's very true. Wow. Yes. I didn't think, I thought that was just for me.
I mean, no, we both get that one. So he's 7-3, okay? And Colin Cowherd is 4-6. So we are very excited to have him back. But before we pick games, I've just got a couple of questions. And thank you for being on with us. I can't believe... Oh, his line just dropped here, Stugat.
Oh,
so we will get him back in a second. I think I always imagine, okay, when a guest of some celebrity stature is there, when we do the silly stuff we do, the morning hijink stuff, the kazoo,
right.
and the ridiculous Christine Lisi joke.
Yeah, I understand. Like maybe they hang up. I think Steve-O was probably not affected by that.
Yes,
though,
probably
right?
not, yes. though.
No, he said sorry, dude.
So he is back with us now. Welcome back. I just can't believe we haven't asked you about hearing the voices of spirits, because you told Joe Rogan one time, and I don't know the details on this. I just heard that you told Joe Rogan one time that you've heard spirits.
Oh, well, yeah. It's called psychosis. And it wasn't just hearing the voices of spirits. I mean, I was watching people walk around my apartment who were never physically there. I actually... I watched people walk through walls. Like one time I had like a formal intervention in my apartment and then came to realize after the fact that not a single person had actually ever been there. It was pretty heavy duty, like, you know, auditory hallucinations, that's the hearing voices, tactile hallucinations when you actually feel stuff. I had that too, like where... dude, it was heavy. There was just a lot of heavy stuff. And frankly, I enjoyed it all so much. I mean, like, I was so in love with all of the hallucinations. I just kept piling more drugs into my body for the sole purpose of keeping that stuff happening. You know, I really, really loved it. But at a certain point, you know, I hit a wall and I had to get sober.
Well, help me, please, because you just said you stopped yourself, and I wish you hadn't. Spirit touched you. You're saying that yeah. was what happened.
Okay, there was one time that was particularly notable. I was sitting at this big desk. This is actually like a dining room table, but I used it as a desk, so there was plenty of space in front of me, and I had all sorts of drugs piled up on it, like. You know, this nitrous oxide, these cartridges, I had just boxes and boxes of that. I had piles of powdered narcotics, pills, marijuana. It was just an absurd scene. And as I, was doing cocaine, I was doing a line, I was getting ready to I just looked at all these drugs in front of me, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm dying. Yeah, there's actually just no longevity in what I'm doing right here. And then I had the distinct thought, well, I don't care if I die. You know, it's just like, I just thought, I don't care if I die. I leaned over to do this line of cocaine, and as I leaned over, this swiveling, spinning office chair that I was sitting in, like, physically spun. I mean, this was my experience, and it was the most intense experience I'd ever had, where, like, it was like a huge, strong guy. Like, the chair felt like it turned into a mechanical bull. It just spun around. Like, I felt like I almost flew out of it. And what I perceived was a very distinct message that some, like, entity, some spiritual entity, had different plans, you know, or felt very strongly that I should value my life, that I should like think again, you know. It's like, you're not allowed to die, because that was the thought. Like, I don't care if I die. And this is what you call a tactile hallucination. And clearly, if I had a surveillance camera in my living room, you know, it wouldn't have shown anything. It was just my experience. And when I got to rehab, and they started talking about the 12 steps and how you need to have a higher power and stuff and figure out what your higher power is and what you pray to, I had this this notebook, you know, in which I did all of this, you know, this work on my recovery. And on the cover of that notebook, I wrote, "That chair spun." Period. No question about it. I had that experience. I still, you know, hang on to it. And when it comes to what do I pray to as my higher power, I pray to whatever spun that chair, because it was a big deal.
So if you want amazing stories from this man, Wild Ride Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, we're going to try and segue from there to picking games. But can you tell me what it feels like to do 600 Whippets, Whippet cartridges in 24 to 36 hours?
I mean, I loved it. You know, like my goal with inhaling the nitrous oxide was to, you know, essentially suffocate myself. It was, you know, I suppose deprive myself of oxygen and just have enough of this stuff in my lungs that I would physically pass out, you know, that I would pass out and be laying there twitching. And it was an awful thing to look at, but I loved it. And I just, it was my goal to physically pass out and from inhaling nitrous as many times in a day as possible. Of course, the more you do it, the harder it is to achieve that goal. And so I would ultimately just spend a lot of time writhing on the floor, punching it with my fist, like trying to hold my breath until I was unconscious, and spent a lot of hours doing that.
All right, let's pick some games.
All right.
Let's pick some games. Let's pick some games.
It is time for Celebrity Prognosticator. Let's win some money.
The lines are provided by Caesars William Hill.
Steve-O, 7-3. I mean, yes. You are crushing
it. Let's do this. Raiders at Patriots. Patriots, -5.5. Who you got?
Ah, man. You know, I never used to like the Raiders, but now that they're in Vegas, I kind of do. I really enjoyed their first game in the stadium. I know. What's the line on that?
-5.5. The Patriots are favored.
Right. You know, I might lose this one, but I'm going with the Raiders.
All right, don't fear. Don't fear. You're good at this. Just we got to go through these picks a little quicker, though, because we were getting those great drug stories. Bills at Rams. I'm sorry, Rams at Bills. Bills are -2.
That's the Rams all day.
Titans at Vikings. Vikings +2.5 at home. Who you got?
This one I really don't care about, but let's say the Titans.
All right, Jets at Colts. Jets at Colts. Colts -11.5. Who you got?
Jets at Colts. I like the Colts on that one.
Yeah, why not?
Packers at Saints. Saints -3. Who you got?
You know what? It's Packers, baby. Packers all the way.
All right. Yeah. We're hoping you come back next week. Thank you, Steve-O. Always good talking to you.
Hey, For sure. Likewise, man. Thank you.
All right, man.
Fun weekend for Miami, not for Billy Gill. He wants to fast forward through the weekend because he fears that the Marlins will not clinch tonight or this weekend. He fears heat calamity. He fears. I just did the ending of Shawshank Redemption. The writing at the end was, I hope. He fears. Let's update a couple of polls here, Stugatz, please.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, we'll update the rest of the polls of the post-game show. Has Mike Tomlin surgically altered his eyelid so he never blinks? 95% of the audience said yep.
Let's open up the club, Mike Ryan. I want to open up the club, send everybody into the weekend, even though it is 8:50 in the morning on the West Coast.
That's never going to get old.
This is unbelievable. Let's open up the club. We will play also in the post-game show the sound of Allen Iverson not going after me, but I think maybe I should make it about me, Stugatz, just to get the rub of people thinking that Allen Iverson is beefing with my father.
That's a heady play. That's what you do.
Let's open up the club with the first sound. Who's the first sound in the club?
Chugga, 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 chugga. Chugga, 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 chugga. Chugga, 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 chugga. 12.
12 chuggas before choo-choo, 6 pairs of 2.
12 chugga-chuggas. Actually, no, 12 chuggas. It's 6 chugga-chuggas. It's 12 chuggas.
What a sweet man.
Marty Smith's America, if you want explanations like that and exceptional math, Marty Smith's America, part of the Lebatard and Friends Network. What else you got there, Mike?
Also, you could maybe not go Jonathan Villanueva's second question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. That one haunted you. You had some trouble sleeping because you made Villanueva. You made him a gringo. Who else is in the club?
I don't want to be rude, but isn't Stugatz an expression in Italian? Like...
Yes.
Stugatz.
Yeah.
That is Matthew Modine, rather inexplicably.
Feels like a month ago.
It's amazing, though. He asked us that question. Again, that was Matthew Modine.
Yeah, you're not being rude at all. Yeah, like, yeah, like, my real last name is Wiener, so it's not much better.
That is sure to be a suey laugh next year, so we could just say that we had on Matthew Modine. Who else is in the club? Matthew Modine finding it hilarious that Stugatz's actual last name is Wiener. Who else is in the club?
You're soy boy, soft.
Oh, yes, coming.
No one cares about you. You're pathetic.
Do you care about me?
No, yeah, because you got the worst decision in the history of the sport.
I broke your face.
I broke your face.
No, Marty, fake newsman. You didn't break
your
my face. I got right up and protested
right away.
That was a fake stoppage, fake rep, fake fight. Wait till I see you next time.
Look at me.
Wait till I see you next time, Marty, fake newsman. You're dead.
Am I?
You got unfinished business.
Really?
You better show up.
Wait a minute, Bouncer.
Wait till I see you next time, Marty.
Bouncer, get him out of here.
Wait till I see you next time.
We need to get Covington out of here.
Dead.
His face is broken.
Dead!
I love that that's the realest thing Covington has ever done. Yelled, you're dead from a real rage-filled place because he was so tired of hearing the fact that his face was broken.
You're dead!
Who else is in the club?
Mike, you're right. I'm sorry. This is unacceptable, the way that I'm trying to pigeonhole Taysom Hill.
That is Dominique Foxworth and Mike Ryan having the single strangest argument we had this week.
If we're on the field, you can't blink.
Oh, yeah, that was James Conner.
Yeah.
Brings me back all the way back to yesterday.
If we're on the field, you can't blink.
Can't blink on the field. Who else in the club? That is Chris Cody, just very excited about heat happening. Very unpleasant. Again, we're going to give these people the visual image of Chris Cody, nude and freckled and aroused, sensually headed into the weekend to have sex with his sports teams. Oh, yes. Yes, Chris. Make it happen, Poppy. See. What happened?
Yes.
Who else in the club? That's it. We ran down. We ran. We
J.
Just understand, I'm sorry.